diva of the styles like Miles and shit. Like 60s funky worms with waves and perms, just sending junky rhythms right down your block. We beat to rap what key beat to lock, but we beat to rap what key beat to lock. We beat to rap what key beat to lock, but we beat to rap what key beat to lock. We beat to rap what key beat to lock. We beat to rap what key beat to lock.
I got my second win, pimp.
We beat to rap what key beat to lock, but we beat to rap.
I got my second win. Sick with a BMA.
We beat to rap what key beat to lock, but we beat to rap what key beat to lock.
Hey guys, welcome back to another week of Best Week Ever podcast. I am your host, Van. And before we get into this week's Best and Worst Week Ever winners with my host, oh my God, not my host, that's hilarious, with my guest, Rachel Fisher from Hollywood Crime Scene. You guys, I love this podcast so much and I'm so excited to have her on and for you guys to listen to this whole entire episode. But before we get into this week's episode, I wanted to just announce that Best Week Ever podcast birthday was this week, April 9th. We celebrated 2 years. And when I say we, I mean me. I celebrated 2 years doing this podcast. I don't count the first year where I did the first year solo, which is crazy to even like think about that I used to do this podcast solo by myself. And rarely in a blue moon, if I happen to not have a guest or if I am just lazy bones, I will do a solo episode. But I feel like I am moving that on to the Patreon. So if you do love this podcast, please sign up for the Patreon. It's on our links down on the show notes. And also, if you follow us on Best Week Ever Podcast, you will find it on the bio under the links. You'll see our Patreon link. There you'll see all of our episodes on video and you will see that it is unedited. So with this episode, you'll get to see Melon. If you follow Hollywood Crime Scene, that's a tongue twister for me. If you follow them, you know that you will hear Rachel's cats in the background, which I absolutely love, especially Melon. He is the loudest one of the bunch, and I got to see him on camera, and you can too if you just sign up for our Patreon. Before we move on to this week's episode, I wanted to pay some attention on two things that are kind of a personal best and worst week ever. Worst for sure is what is happening with Kate Beckinsale. I know I've been like kind of not making fun of her, but I have been keeping tabs on her just ever since she dated Pete Davidson, and she seems to be getting thinner and thinner. And she, I don't know why, but like she reminds me so much, like her fashion and the way she styles herself reminds me so much of like Ariana Grande when she first came out, you know, with like the bunny ears and the high ponytail. That's what Kate Beckinsale kind of like emulates lately. And I don't know what's been up with her or if you guys have been keeping tabs at her at all, because she is a bit of a strange bird lately. But she has not been looking healthy. And I know the Daily Mail and Page Six, a lot of tabloids like keep tabs on her, especially now more than ever, because she has admitted herself to a hospital and it's been like almost a month since she's been there. And this is just, you know, a snowfall pile that I was like, unfortunately waiting to happen, because I have, like I said, I've been keeping my tabs on Kate and wondering what is going on with her, because she's not really working. And she seems to have like a lot of boy toys and she loves taking selfies and posting a lot on her Instagram. So lately she's been posting these hospital pics and just, it's kind of disturbing because she's kind of vague on what's happening and why is she there for so long. So it's just all pretty much very skeptical. Also, so yeah, that's like my personal worst week ever, just finding out that Kate Beckinsale is the theory on her is going bananas. But for my best week ever, I have to give it to personal week. I don't know if this is like a best, maybe more of a, like a complaint, but do you guys know when Beyonce's movie, the concert, the one of Renaissance that happened this summer, we were graced so lovely with the film, and it hasn't really been, I don't know, I haven't heard anything about it being available to stream soon. And I'm only asking for this because my daughter has been asking and playing nonstop, and I don't mind it. Okay. I don't mind it, but it's getting to the point where I'm like, my girl needs the visuals for Renaissance. She needs the visuals for Cowboy Carter because it's all day. It's Taylor Swift this, Taylor Swift that. And of course she's been watching the Eras. And I love that for her. But every time I try to put on a Beyonce, and mind you, she loves the Lion King film, the Beyonce Visual Hour album that she did, that she does love. But with Taylor taking over everything, I'm over here thinking, like, when is Beyonce's movie going to stream? So if you guys have any answers to that, please DM me at Best Week Ever Podcast. Correction corner, I wanted to clean up something I falsely said last week when me and the guest that I had on, Holden, please follow him, HoldenSmith962 on all platforms, but we of course had Beyonce for our best week ever winner, and I was misinformed and misinformed you guys. Of course, this is how telephone is being played. But I did say that Taylor Swift was on the vocals of the album. And guys, I did not do my research correctly. I did not check my sources because that all came out as false. And I feel so dumb for even relaying that information, the misinformation. And I just wanted to clear that up and let you guys know that Beyonce did not have Taylor Swift in her album. And now that I think about it, I'm glad that she didn't. Just because I feel like these ladies should remain separate as much as everyone, and I do too. I am one of them, love seeing them together, supporting each other on each other's work. But, like, I'd like to keep them that way. I don't think I would like them featuring on each other's music. But maybe, I don't know, maybe do a cover together. I just don't see, like, a song collaboration anytime soon. And, hey, if I'm wrong, I'm happy to be wrong. All right, guys, please enjoy this episode with me and Rachel from Hollywood Crime Scene Podcast. Please follow them. Give them a listen. They're so much fun, and I'm so happy to have this conversation with Rachel Fisher. So please enjoy.
Keep it to lock. Got a corner or two and been the block. The West ain't been the same without Pac, so I guess it's Lefty 40 and Rick Rock.
Welcome back, guys, to another week of Best Week Ever Podcast, where we discuss who's having the worst and best week ever in pop culture. This week, I'm super excited. I have a co-host from one of my favorite podcasts, Hollywood Crime Scene. I have Rachel Fisher. How are you today, Rachel?
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm good. I'm just excited to be on your podcast. Thanks for having me on.
I'm a huge fan, but I feel like my listeners should know, but for those who don't know, can you like let the listeners know about you, yourself, and the podcast?
Sure. I co-host Hollywood Crime Scene with my friend Desi, and we put out two shows a week. One show is like a, you know, our main episode, and that we go into like Los Angeles, Hollywood, crimes and scandals, or even just biographies of interesting famous people. Like, we're doing a deep dive on Mariah Carey this month. And our other show we do weekly on the pod is our mini episodes where we just kind of give a rundown of like the weirdest news stories of the week.
Yeah, no, I just actually listened to your mini episode this morning, and I too am looking at my flight, making sure that I am not entering or going on the Boeing 737, whatever it's called.
Yeah. Cut to me a few hours ago, actually booking a flight on one because it was the cheapest option. And even though I said yesterday on the pod that I would never do that again. And I'm like, just hopefully it's a, you know, it's a short flight. So we'll see what happens.
Well, good luck. I know I have mine. It's like out in the summer to fly out to Jersey. And it says like Boeing 737 to like 7800, like 780 or something. Ooh. Like that.
Yeah.
And I'm
sorry, that
like,
was my cat jumping off the table.
Oh, no, you're good. But yeah, super random where I'm like, so I won't know until what, the day of, that I'm going to be boarding this flight. But yeah,
shady.
Yeah, super shady. But I feel like the airline is another like scam company in itself.
Yeah, for sure, 100%. They like they have us by the balls. There's nothing we can do about it. They just have us.
Literally, there is nothing we can do about it. We just pay what we can.
Yeah.
Let us jump into our worst week ever category. Worst week ever, honorable mention. Who do you have this week?
Okay. So I think Prince Andrew is a pretty big one.
Okay, you need to update me because I haven't heard that name in forever.
I'm only saying this because I just started watching Scoop last night, and it's with Gillian Anderson and Billie Piper, who I didn't even know was an actress. I just knew her as like a Brit pop lady from like the early 2000s or the late 90s. So I was like, oh shit, I remember that girl. Like that like unlocked a trap door in my memory. But she's starring in it as this journalist who basically gets an interview with Prince Andrew following Jeffrey Epstein's arrest.
So this is all fiction. Like it's just,
it's nonfiction. It's based on a true story about this journalist who managed to get an interview on the like they managed to get him on the BBC to interview him post Jeffrey Epstein's arrest and to like grill him about it.
No, why are we hearing about this now? This is so
interesting. I mean, I'm sure it happened. I just wasn't paying attention. But same. Like, I mean, it did happen. This really did happen in 2019. But yeah, it was like, I just was like, oh shit, he's like having a bad week all over again with this show being on Netflix and being super popular.
Yeah, he's definitely been getting a lot of the attention off him since the whole Royal Palace has been going through like drama.
Yeah.
That literally, that when we mentioned Prince Andrew, like I said, I haven't heard that name since 2020, when Jeffrey Epstein and...
Yeah, he can run, but he can't hide.
No, and karma's a bitch. I love Billy, by the way. Honey to the Bee was like my favorite song when I was in fifth grade. And I know she was like on a TV series where she plays like a pop artist. To watch this show.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I should look it up, but it's like she's a past pop artist who's like an adult now and she's kind of like adulting. But yeah, the trailer to it, that's as far as I've gone seeing it. And it looks really good, but with her being in this movie, I love how she is now an actress. She's really popular in the UK.
Yeah, she's obviously done a lot more British things than American things because I was just like completely out of the loop. But she's cool in this.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess like Prince Andrew was my number one. And my number two, I don't know if you watch Seeking Sister Wife.
I actually keep up to date with Kara. So if it wasn't for Kara, I would not be in the loop.
Okay. So Well, she, I mean, because I obviously listened to Kara as well. Shout out to everyone's business but mine. And her Seeking Sister Wife recaps are just like so funny. They're so good. I live for them. I get so excited each week when a new one pops up. And so she already did this little rundown of the last week's episode. But I was thinking of like who else had the worst week ever. It was definitely this couple on Seeking Sister Wife named Becky and Justin, who drove 12 hours from Texas to Denver to basically stalk this woman, Stephanie, who told them, please do not come here. Like, she broke up with them. And so they drove. And Kara's so funny. She's like, are we all like, is this illegal? Like, are we all just like witnessing a stalking happening right now? Because like, that's fully what it is. So, yeah, this couple, everybody knows this couple's like a bunch of crazy stalkers right now, I guess, after this, the last like two episodes, because it kind of ended on a cliffhanger last week. But this week they get to Texas, or they get to Denver. We see because they can't show this woman's face because she did not consent to be on TV. That's right. How you know it's serious. You're like, yeah. Oh shit. Like, this is for real. This woman does not want them to be here. Yeah, it's just a couple of weirdos. And it's like, this is a brand new couple on Seeking Sister Wife. And it's always exciting when you get like a new couple that season that manages to be stars.
Yeah. And I have to like wonder, when do producers like jump in? You know what I mean? Because that's like something producers would probably like passive aggressively say, like, well, are you sure that's a great idea? Like, do you want to do this? Or are they pushing it like, yeah, we should definitely get everybody like, and we're on board of following you guys in that 12-hour trip? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, well, it's always kind of thrilling when the fourth wall breaks a little bit during a reality show and a producer does have to step in when you like, when someone's about to get into like a fist fight or something and you see the producer kind of like, oh, excuse sir, like please don't. And they gonna have to jump in. That's like one of the most thrilling moments on reality TV. And the second one is when you just get the blank screen with the words on it.
Yeah.
And it's like,
that's always chilling.
That's always chilling when it's like, three hours ago, we got an update from so-and-so and like this is what just went down. And you're like, oh fuck, it's going down.
And honestly, guys, you don't even have to see Seeking Sister Wives. Like, I'll see certain episodes just to see like what Kara is explaining, because Kara does such a great job of just like not only making fun of these people, but also like, she's also empathetic and gives them grace, which I have to like let everyone know. Like, yes, she's making fun of them, but she like genuinely loves these shows. So her recapping it is always like chef kiss.
Yeah. I mean, Kara is responsible for sending me down a sister wives, not Seeking, but like the OG show. She sent me on that journey in the past month. So now I'm watching that show from the beginning.
I know that family is very like the Robin of it all with her eyebrow tears just gets me the memes every time.
Yeah, no, it's kind of incredible. So like, I've been chatting with Kara, like being like, oh my god, this just happened, and it's like shit that happened in season 5, because like I'm not caught up yet, obviously, but I'm just kind of like in awe of everything that's happening. So I'm really excited to get to the point where she starts her recaps so I can like listen along to those.
Oh, I love that. That's smart. Yeah, because there's 22 seasons, guys.
Yeah, and I'm on season 8.
That's such dedication.
It's such dedication, but I'm like in too deep now. I'm fully invested in this family. There's such weirdos. The husband is such a narcissist, and like the cracks are fully showing now in season 8, and it's just like, I can't look away. I cannot look away.
Especially, I wonder, because trigger warning, one of the sons in the family has recently completed suicide, and that's been very hard for the family right now, especially at a time when they're kind of like all distancing from each other as well. that happening, I wonder if there's cameras up, in the words of producer of Bravo, like, get Andy and right, a camera right. on here. Just because, yeah, that's 22 seasons. That's basically like their whole entire lives.
I mean, I know Kara said when she mentioned it on her podcast, like, she, Kara's like, watched this kid, these kids grow up, because she's been watching Sister Wives since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, obviously, I just started watching it, but like, seeing that kid when he comes on the screen, like, I do get very, it's very, very sad. Like, it's sad for anyone, regardless of if you grew up watching these kids or not. It's just like a complete and utter tragedy. And I hope that the family at least is like given enough distance where they don't feel like they have to start filming again right away following this, because it's like unimaginable to have to go through this.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they take like a very long break.
And I think they should, if they want to. They absolutely should. But Seeking Sister Wife, that particular stalker couple, worst week. And the third one, Brandy Melville.
Yes.
Because I just watched that documentary today.
So I've only been to one, and there's one in, it's in PB Beach down in San Diego. That's like the only Brandy Melville store I've ever been to. And I bought like a one size all sweater. I too liked their clothes. So I'm excited for this documentary. Did you watch the whole thing yet?
I did. I watched it this afternoon, and I had this like, I mean, I watch all of these kind of like expose of your favorite brands. Like, I watched the Victoria's Secret one. I watched the Abercrombie and Fitch one. I know there's a Shein one. I haven't watched that yet. I'm sure it's horrific. But it's like, you can kind of already expect, you know what to expect if you've seen any of these, that it's going to be like, you know, racism among several different levels, like multi-tiered racism from like the top to the bottom, you know, with the lower level employees and the higher upper level employees, sexism, whatever, like anything, like any kind of exploitation going on. And they do, I don't think they had enough to fill out a whole, I mean, it's good that they touched on fast fashion, but it's like they didn't have enough Brandy Melville content, so they had to pad it out with like, hey, did you know fast fashion is like super bad and super bad for the environment and like exploits people, which is like a good, which is good to like include that or have educate people on that. But I could tell they like didn't have like, but the info they did have on Brandy Melville was pretty interesting and just as like horrifying as you would imagine it to be. And I mean, yeah, and kind of just putting into words, like, I'm sure what people have always thought about stepping into those stores, where it's like, oh, this is like a very specific aesthetic for a very specific girl.
Yeah.
I mean, starting with the fact that everything is one size, which is just weird. And it's not like they're selling snuggies, like that I can understand. It's a one size, but they're selling like shorts.
Jeans.
Jeans. Like, how do you make jeans one size? That's crazy.
I remember like the scrunchy top that they had that was one size all. And like, it would just stretch out and you would see the pattern more. And I was like, this is a joke.
No. Like, depending on like what size you are, you see more of the pattern. So it's like its own other level of like personal shame. You know, you're like, well, why is it so stretched out on me? Like, it's bizarre. And the guy who founded the company is like this weird Italian dude who, as far as I know, has nothing to do with like fashion or no background in fashion, just kind of is like really savvy when it comes to being able to market to teenage girls and to kind of create this store and this whole brand that gets all these teenage girls, like gives them a huge response. So it's just weird though.
It is.
And he's also a total weirdo and like a racist.
It's making me think, because I worked for Abercrombie and Fitch in like 2000s. Mm. And I just remember like just being hired because of I was cute.
Yeah.
And like literally just greeting. But to find out later that like that dude who's basically just a meme now, like if you were to Google him, he is so weird and creepy. Yeah, I can't believe behind these like teenage bop stores, you would think that there's like a woman that's in charge, but it's like a creepy dude. Just
no, it's always a weird dude. And this guy's no exception. He has these like, he's like also very much in communication with store employees too. And all the store employees are like very young girls.
Yeah.
And he does these like outfit checks where he makes the employees send him pictures of like what they're wearing on the floor that day. And if it's unacceptable, he like fires them, or if they're like not hot, like he only wants like hot, white, tiny white women working on the stores. And then he had all the like girls of color were working in the stock room.
Wow.
So it's like that, but they also go on to like explain so much more. I debated putting this as worst week ever only because at the end, sort of towards the end, someone makes a kind of depressing statement, which I 100% believe is it's like these revelations about Brandy Melville's practices actually came out in 2021, and there was like initial backlash, of course, online, but their sales haven't stopped. And like I said yesterday on our podcast, like every time I've ever walked past that store at the mall, it's like exploding with teenage girls. So that's like kind of the sad reality is like, I don't know if this is because the guy doesn't care also. So it's like, I mean, I guess it's like for people who want to be aware of it. And if you're not cool with this guy's practices, like here's what's going on here. You can choose to shop there or not.
It also kind of proves, like, not to detour from like the subject, but it also kind of proves that there's really no store for tween girls anymore. Like,
they don't have limited two anymore.
I mean, I haven't really seen a limited two, or I feel like Francesca's is probably the closest thing for like a tween store, but like that, like kind of age kind of ranges as well.
Yeah. Where did you shop when you were a tween?
I was a mall girl because I'm from Northern New Jersey. So yeah. I was always like at Hollister or Abercrombie. I remember French Connection like was a huge deal if you got the FUCK.
Yes, that little baby tee was so hot.
And
it was
yeah,
so hot.
The BB was cute.
Ugh, I was obsessed with BB. Mm-hmm. I was actually thinking of BB while I was watching this documentary, because they obviously talk about fast fashion. And although I don't know, I wouldn't qualify BB, at least back then, it didn't seem like fast fashion, and it was like more expensive to buy if you were a teenager. And it was like one of my favorite stores in high school and like eighth grade for sure. But the quality of the clothes at like stores like that and so many other stores has just declined so much. It's like, that is something that I see more and more people talking about, at least online, but it really is true. If you like I still have things I've like that I wore 20 years ago,
yeah,
that are still in good condition. And then I have things I've bought 5 years ago at like Zara that are falling apart.
Yeah, no, that's so true.
So I kind of just like stopped buying fast fashion the past few years because it's just like not worth it anymore.
I know. And then like thrifting too has become a whole thing. Shanika from Horror Hues podcast, she actually put that as her worst week ever a couple weeks ago.
Thrifting?
With thrifting, yeah, because it's like it's gotten kind of like out of hand, the pricing now, because it's so trendy, just
Right.
thrifting and buying vintage clothing that like a tattered t-shirt should not be costing like $150. Like it's
Yeah. Well, it's like I know there's like the whole Depop
yeah.
thing where you see the girlies are selling like an H&M shirt from 2012 for like $50. Like, no, that shit costs $12.
Or like a Coach purse from like the 2000s, they're like trying to get a full price of it. And I'm like, I don't know if that's actually like that not authentic, but that like worth the price of a
The
vintage.
resale value on a, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, there's, you know, fast fashion is like, it's like so convenient. It's like, it's so popular for a reason. And, but I also understand and like completely agree with like that it is like an unethical practice. And it sucks that like, you know, it comes down to us as consumers instead of the companies that should, you know, it's ultimately like them, like anyway, I don't want to like get on my soapbox too much talking about like Brandy Melville, but maybe they're having the worst week ever like on Twitter, but in the real world, like I just have this like feeling like they're not going to go away.
I feel like chronically online people, like the Reddit girlies, are definitely aware of the Brandy Melville like subject. But yeah, you're
Yes.
so right. Outside of that, we still have like the tweens, and
Yeah.
that's very true.
Yeah.
Did you have anyone else for your worst week ever honorable mentions?
I don't. Do you?
Yeah, I actually have one that's pretty hilarious because I love finding out when celebrities are watching Bravo shows. And Christina Applegate tweeted, "What in the actual fuck? Why is Robin Dixon not coming back to Real Housewives of Potomac? No! Exclamation point, exclamation point. At Andy, you need to explain this to me. She is my favorite housewife of all the franchises. At Andy, call me now. You don't have my number, but you know, I love you." Okay, this is hilarious because out of all the housewives, out of all the franchises, like she says, Robin Dixon, for real. I don't know if you watch Real Housewives of Potomac, but she really is the saddest bunch of them all, where she does not evolve. Sadly, I do love her because when she does talk about her depression, like I did, empathize with her. And I love when housewives are that open and honest, but when the whole Juan Dixon thing came out, it really put a bad taste in my mouth, especially when they were all trying to target Candace and her marriage. But finding out that Christina Applegate, one, loves Real Housewives of Potomac, two, I think what worst week for me is just finding out, like, I love you, Christina, but I can't believe you are a Robin Dixon fan. I know right now it is rumored that she is fired from the cast. There hasn't been any confirmation, but I feel like people have been running with it that she's not going to join next season. They did a whole shakeup with the cast. But yeah, it's really sad to find out like who like my favorite celebs' favorites are, but I'm pretty sure people do the same thing with me when I'm talking about like Addison Rae. I get a lot of hate, by the way, which I do not appreciate about
Wait.
me being like a fan of Addison Rae.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, look, I don't know enough about Addison to come for you. But I will say on the Christina Applegate tip, this is exactly what I would be doing if I was a celebrity, is I would be at replying producers of reality shows and telling them to like please get this person, fire this person, or hire this person back, or why aren't we seeing more of this storyline, or do better in the tell-all. Let me host the tell-all.
I
That's what
mean,
I'd be doing.
that's what Nicki Minaj did. She got to actually ask the ladies questions on a reunion for Real Housewives of Potomac. So I feel like if they do, like, I mean, this is great, her reaching out. I can watch her at Watch What Happens Live now. And I'm pretty sure Robin will be sitting next to her. But yeah, no, I do too, like, love it when celebs are watching and they're also, like, live tweeting about it.
Yeah, I know. I love knowing that celebrities, they're just like us. They love trash. I love that.
I do.
I need to find all the TLC celebs. Like, who are the celebrities out there who watch all the TLC shows? That's what those are my people. They're, you know, like, extra trashy.
I don't know why this came to, like, Annette Bening.
What?
I get the feeling that she probably...
wait, you know, or you get the feeling?
I get the feeling.
Okay, I thought you, like, knew for a fact she watched 90 Day Fiancé.
No, but, like, it makes you think, like, because I think about it all the time, like, what, like, very sophisticated celebs is just watching, like, trash? And Annette Bening, like, came to mind because, like, she is, like, an actress. And
yeah.
I don't know. She just gives me that vibe of, like, where do I go to find my work? TLC. 90 Day Fiancé. That would be amazing.
I love that. I love that theory where they're like, I need to like hone this character that I'm doing. I'm going to watch a TLC show because that's where all the real Americans are.
That's where all the passion is. You know,
it's true. I mean, there are like some real dark, devastating stories on TLC shows. Like, it is dark.
It is.
And I do like darkness.
And they like to sprinkle it on top with, like, a great little theme song to the show.
Yeah, to, like, cover absolutely.
The darkness.
Absolutely. It's like, it's utterly dark television, but also high comedy at the same time. Like, I mean, I just, and some genuine stars. Like, I'm obsessed with Darcy and Stacey Silva. God bless them. Like, they... You know, I don't agree with the direction their faces have gone, but I support them and I love them and I always will. Yeah. Then they have some reprehensible reality stars that I wish would just go away. But you know what? That's for the producers to decide. And it's really frustrating. And if I was a celebrity, I would be tweeting at the producers, telling them to fire Big Ed on 90 Day Fiancé.
I would be inviting them to brunch.
Mm.
To have them, like, give me all the tea.
I would also want to hang out with some of them. Like, there are some reality stars where I'm like, I bet I could be friends with them.
And you would, that would automatically, I feel like some of these producers, when I do see reality shows, like, my favorite, The Housewives, when they break the fourth wall and they're talking to the producers, they really do have, like, a relationship, friendship, and they're getting paid for it.
Yeah.
I mean, there is manipulation.
Of course, but you can tell, but you can tell who the producers like based on edits sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, there are, like, 90 Day Fiancé is famous for a real shady edit. You know, they'll, like, zoom in on stuff that didn't have to be zoomed in on, but it adds such a comedic touch and just, like, really shows you, like, it shows you without telling you what they think about these people.
Yeah.
And sometimes people get a really glowing edit and then you find out later on social media, oh, actually they suck.
Yeah, no.
So
there's definitely a lot of that going around. I feel that a lot with Kyle Richards.
Does she get a good edit?
She has been, like, for years, and I think this year they're finally, like, they weren't as shady as I wanted it to be, but they really did try this season to out her, and it just didn't really work.
Yeah. I haven't watched Beverly Hills since, like, season 2. That was, like, when I stopped watching. I just, like, fell off of it, but so now I'm just, like, way too far behind, but
I mean, it's a lot.
Yeah, that's my mom's franchise. That's her Housewives franchise. That and New Jersey.
Ooh, yeah. Jersey, it hits too close to home because those ladies live, like, a town away from my actual hometown. So, like,
yeah,
the the fame. I saw it all growing when it first aired and everything. And yeah, no, they're as real as they come. They are not fake.
Yeah, they're real Jersey girls. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's funny. I think that's how I got back into Housewives again. Was I've been watching Salt Lake City since it premiered. And the reason I decided to jump on board initially was because I thought Salt Lake City was such a weird choice for a Housewives franchise. And I, because I'm so TLC pilled, I was like, maybe they'll be like actually weird, like Mormons.
I mean, they are.
They are, but they're not like the stereotypical Mormon that you think of, like all buttoned up. I mean, I was pleasantly surprised that it ended up being a great Housewives franchise regardless, but then I'm like, oh, they dress and look exactly like every other housewife.
Yeah.
But they all shop at the same store.
Except the Greek one. I forgot her name. She like recently had her Greek solar eclipse sunglasses.
Oh yeah. Angie. Yeah. I love her.
I just love her representation of Greece. It's just,
yeah.
Like,
no, I love her. I was like, so after the season ended, I had to make Spanakopita because of Angie K. Because like she kept talking about being Greek and making Greek food all the time. And they had that like Greek Easter party. And I was like, that's it. I'm making Greek food right now. Because we don't have like a ton of Greek restaurants here, or at least near me.
Bravo is literally going to miss the boat if they don't do a cast trip there. They have to
Greece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
For Angie.
I was really sad because like I looked up like when are they doing Real Housewives of San Francisco, because that's where I'm from originally. And Andy basically said a few years ago, like, look, it's not going to happen. We Why? Tried. He said something like, we were going to do it, but we couldn't get a good enough cast, or the casting, it was like a bad cast. Like, you need to try again.
Yeah.
I need to see that. I need to see old San Francisco society money mixed with new tech money.
It is very New York City. Like, it would be a whole cooler, because you're so right. Like, it would be very eclectic, the cast. Because, like, I can see a girl living in Oakland and, like, going to San Francisco, maybe. Or trying to make Berkeley cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, they should try again. That is such a missed opportunity.
Yeah, I really want to see it. I would just love, I would totally, that would be like another franchise I'd hop on in a heartbeat for sure. I'd try and get my mom to become an ancillary character. Like, you need to make friends with one of these bitches.
Yeah, just go hang out at one of the bars that they like frequently go to in a restaurant. Like, that's
much
how they like get to be friends with people. At least from when I was bartending, at a restaurant that the Real Housewives of New Jersey would go, like Kathy G and Kathy D would go there all the time. And just like hearing them talk shit was like, I can't believe I'm like seeing this for free.
Yeah. I think I would pass out if I like witnessed them filming one of my favorite reality shows. I don't know what I would do. It would be crazy. Like, I found out this 90 Day Fiance star went to this juice bar, like, in my neighborhood once, which was weird. I don't know what they were doing filming in Echo Park, because usually when they film in LA, they're like in West Hollywood or at the beach. And so it was very bizarre. But when I found out this woman was at this juice bar that's in the neighborhood, I went down there, and I'd been there before, obviously. And I like talked to the guy. I was like, did Angela from 90 Day Fiance really come in here? And he was like, yeah.
That is journalism, Rachel.
I was like, I like asked him a couple more follow-up questions. This was like a few years ago. I asked him some follow-up questions too. I was like, what was she like? Why were they here? And he was like, I was like, what did she order? And he told me what she ordered. I was like,
Was it a good order? I would order the same thing.
It sounded like a good order, but it was in this, she had just gotten like a lipo or something. So she was like on a diet. And so she's like, I'm being healthy. I'm getting a pineapple juice.
That is very healthy, huh? Yeah. I love that. But yeah, no, That sucks for Christina Applegate. But finding that out was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our worst week ever runner up. I'll go first, and I nominate Morgan Wallen, who got arrested for throwing a chair from a rooftop bar in Nashville. Apparently, this is like a building that has like six stories. So the fact that he threw a chair from a rooftop could have actually hurt somebody. And P.S. this guy's like a piece of shit. Like, I don't understand how he is still. No, I do understand, because there was this tweet that I actually posted on my Instagram where like he's racist, violent, and he is like pretty much everything that America like kind of represents.
Okay, so who is this guy? Do I know this guy?
He's literally number one in the charts right now. I don't know for what song, but he's like a country singer, and he's like a big star who got arrested for three felony accounts. He was also filmed saying the N-word in 2020 with the hard R.
Oh, wow.
He also has had like marital issues. Well, not issues, just like a discrepancy. Like, he kind of like hid his love child from the world. Like,
he had some drama.
Yeah. He's all in all not a great person, but like literally every time he happens to be on the headlines for doing something horrible, his music shoots up to number one.
That's how it is nowadays.
Yeah.
Like, it must be so easy to be a right wing influencer, like to be that kind of grifter. It's just so easy. All you have to do is talk about like, I'm being censored and canceled, and then you get this whole fan base. They eat it up.
Yeah. And like, he has the money to just like bail himself out, and like he does not care, guys. Like, I'm pretty sure he's just going to like slap a settlement on this. But yeah, no, it's just like the whole discord of him just being like, oh, he's just like this American rock star, and it's like, no, that's toxic. And we have,
I'd never heard of him before, so I don't know who this guy is. Morgan Wallen.
Yeah,
I thought he was a reality star. I didn't know who this guy was.
No, I'm so glad that you don't know him. I feel like,
is he even a crossover success? Doesn't sound like it. He's, you know, not Shania Twain.
You know what explains him so much about, like, especially about cancel culture is that in 2020, he was supposed to perform in Saturday Night Live, but he was seen making out with college girls. Mind you, he's like a 34-year-old man.
So that's why he was disinvited?
He was like disinvited, and also because of all the controversy of him like being racist. And yeah, he comes back this year to perform. So cancel culture does not exist, guys. The fact that he got disinvited and then got invited back to perform.
I did not know that. So I'm sorry. Let's recap this. This happened this week. He's at a bar, you said, or hotel?
Yeah. He is at a, let me say this, at a rooftop bar. Yeah. This past Sunday night. And he was at a six-story bar restaurant.
So it's six stories up.
Mm-hmm.
And he threw chairs?
He threw a chair from the rooftop because there was like a fight that broke out.
What an asshole.
He truly is an asshole.
Did anyone get hit? Did he hit anyone, or was it just like a scary?
That's the whole fortunate thing about this whole story, because it could have, like, he could have really hurt somebody had it hit someone six stories down a chair.
Yeah.
That would have killed
someone. It's also just embarrassing for him. How old is he? In his 30s?
Yeah.
Why are you throwing chairs? Like, get yourself together.
Yeah. The fact
you're
that
grown
he
man
can get away with this, but other artists wouldn't be able to. And I know he's problematic, but I'm pretty sure, like, Chris Brown, you know?
Like, yeah,
but then
I
again,
mean,
his music is still being played in the radio all the time.
Yeah, he weirdly still has like a big fan base,
a worldwide fan base.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah,
worst
week ever runner up.
I guess Gypsy Rose's ex-husband, because
yeah,
because Because you know what? She's like really, because she's also like, spoiler alert, she's like in my best week ever list. But he, you know, kind of embarrassing for that guy.
But we all saw it coming.
We all saw it coming, and I don't want to give too much away about what I'm going to say in best week ever. But to me, that's like my runner up. Like he just, And he's like talking to, he's trying to, he's getting all mad right now on social media, right?
I'm surprised he's not going to do like a paywall or something. He's like that type of dude. I feel like that would go to
Yeah, he
some
was like a
source.
little too into, he was like a little too into the cameras when she got out of prison.
Oh, the press junking of it all, like he loved it.
He loved it. And so, yeah, he's my honorable mention runner up.
That's a good one. For worst week ever winner, my worst week ever winner this week, I have to nominate JoJo Siwa. I know that she was our honorable mention last week. Her song came out. There has been a lot of controversy about her music that she hasn't written. She's just bought these songs off of artists from like TikTok or up and coming artists, songwriters. And yeah, the fact that she's trying to come off of saying that these songs like mean a lot to her, but then you find out that she hasn't really like written them. Also, the fact, I mean, we've talked about it last week with the whole Tyler Cameron. She wants Tyler Cameron to be her sperm donor. This week, she mentions that she wants to be the first gay pop icon. And I have to put it in the show notes, Tegan and Sarah from, you know them, you love them. They're like one of my favorite, like, emo girlies from the 2000s, but yeah, they did like a cute little stitch basically of JoJo saying that she's going to be the first gay pop icon, and then there's Tegan and Sarah like right there who basically paved the way for JoJo Siwa.
And I'm sure even Tegan and Sarah know that they're not the first,
No.
even close to the first gay
Yeah.
pop icon. It's just, it's absurd. And there's only so much I feel like I can say without sounding like old, aging millennial, get off my lawn, where I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about, little girl, little dance mom's girl. So, because I could name like 100 fucking artists. It's just, okay. I feel like I really appreciate when younger artists know their history, I guess I should
Yes.
say. Know their references, know their history. That's like the simplest way I could say it.
It shows the appreciation and the respect for
Yeah, it's like
like
a it's a respect thing, and it's also yeah, it's like having a reverence towards the people who came before you, even if you don't maybe like those older artists, at least understanding and having a knowledge. So it's it just it's boring if it's like it's just weird. It's like weird personality if you think you're like the first one to do something like that.
And she is weird. I mean, I posted photo who she has been surrounding herself. The fact that she hangs out with Colleen Ballinger, is proudly friends with James Charles and is just like, hugging with Tom Sandoval. It's just like, damn,
Yeah.
JoJo, like you don't really have great influencers around you.
Well, didn't she also say like Abby Lee Miller was nothing but nice to me?
Did she re yeah,
Like I saw that because she was also my top of the worst week ever. Especially since this Rolling Stone article just came out about her today, dunking on her. But yeah, I saw a headline like recently that were she was like, yeah, Abby Lee Miller. She was nice to me.
Well, she also, I mean, she was kind of on hot fire, which really has been a blip in the radar. I don't understand how people are not talking about this more, but the fact that her mom is so abusive and basically like scam this girl pop group to work them to no end, not getting any education. And like JoJo Siwa, literally her response was like, well, that's how I had to get up to the top. Like, if I had to go through it, you have to go through it too, kind of. Like, she isn't, like, I have to remember that JoJo, like, grew up in that toxic environment, and that's all she pretty much knows.
And it's like, look, I appreciate hard work, and it's like, tough love is one thing. You can make a case for tough love, but what Abby Lee Miller did was not tough love. Abuse. And so this is the headline I was thinking about from People today. JoJo Siwa defends Abby Lee Miller's quote tough love coaching style on Dance Mom, says the relationship is amazing. So she says, I was there to make a TV show. She was there to make a TV show. And that's how dance teachers are. Like, she wanted us to be the best. I'm sorry. I don't think it's appropriate for a dance teacher to tell an 8-year-old child that she has a big nose.
And it makes sense now, her costume, because like she came out with this whole goth kiss look and we were laughing at that. She is still like a dance star, like in that environment, because even her clothes are still costumed to look like she's going to perform a dance sequence.
See, this is how I'm like, yeah, of course you don't know any older artists. Because like, what is this reference? What's going on here? Like, you need to do some homework.
Yeah, no, she has a terrible team, and I blame her mother.
I had stopped watching Dance Moms by the time she came on, so I only know her from her like pop career that happened a few years back, and I was introduced to her essentially as the girl who was 16 years old and dressed like an 8-year-old, wore like giant bows on her head. So I always was kind of like, huh. Well, that's different.
Yeah.
But no. I was happy for her when she came out. And I do think like it's cool. I just think, do I hate this girl? No, nope. Absolutely not. And she's not for me anyway. Like, I'm not listening to her music. I'm not consuming her content. But it's undeniable she had the worst week ever because she got clowned on so much this week.
She got clowned up so much, and she just really needs to stop doing interviews because it's just making her look worse. And also, she just came out that she's really young. She's like, what, in her early 20s? She did veneers. And I get so freaked out about like young people doing veneers.
Well, what's crazy about veneers, and I didn't know this until like pretty recently, is that if you're like, depending on how many veneers you're getting, they're filing down all your teeth into these like weird, scary
vampire
little pointy nubs, little tiny, little weird Beetlejuice looking nubs.
And you have like Botox, you have to keep up to date. Like, you, every 20 years, you basically have to like get new veneers. And I'm like, so you're going to be like in your 40s when you have to get like a whole new set of teeth? Like, how is that going to look like?
I'm just very, it's weird. We've been in such a weird teeth era for like the last 10 years where I have oftentimes over the past decade and some change felt insecure about my own teeth. Just their natural teeth. I haven't even done teeth whitening. And like, I should probably, you know, consider that. I could go for a teeth whitening. That's not a problem. But in terms of the like perfectly straight chiclet, big gigantic rectangle teeth that just seems so common now, it's like you feel like there's something wrong with your natural teeth.
It's very Twilight Zone now that you're like, if I were to go to LA and just like all that teeth in front of me, you know,
it's a lot of teeth. It's a lot of teeth. And look, if you love your veneers and you have them, I am happy for you. I am very pro body modification if in whatever form, if that's what makes you happy. Veneers, for me personally, the teeth filing scares me too much. That's why I couldn't do it.
I always think of Jersey Shore. I think it was like the second or third season. Like they all pretty much got like new teeth. Like Ronnie got new teeth. Pauly D got like new teeth. And like, just
it's startling to see it. Yeah. When you see it, it's startling. When you know someone with their teeth, it is like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's alarming.
Yeah.
And I mean, look, some people it works for. Some people, maybe they needed new teeth.
Yeah.
They had a funky grill and they needed to fix that.
I mean, like Cardi B, I feel like that is a perfect example of like, wow, like, yeah, you look great.
But JoJo, was she known for her bad teeth?
No, like that's
the same thing with like Miley Cyrus, Hillary Duff.
Well, Hillary Duff, I remember.
What's her deal?
A microphone hit her front two teeth. And she had to get veneers.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. I remember because I loved Hillary Duff. And I just remember being like, why does she have such perfect teeth? And then finding out like, yeah, it was all an accident.
Yeah.
Or maybe that was a cop-out story. Now that I'm thinking about it.
Maybe. It's like the old deviated septum nose job. Which, look, I'm a big proponent of, if you want to get a little taken off the top and you have a deviated septum, go for it.
Yeah.
I always prayed to have a deviated septum when I was a teenager.
Now they do fillers, which is like, you don't even need to like go under the knife for it.
You can get a liquid nose job now.
Yeah.
You can get a liquid nose job, which I feel like it only works on certain types of noses though. It's not like a broad fix. Look, I know a lot about plastic surgery. I spent a lot of time watching Instagram videos. That's another great Botox TLC show. Huh?
That's another great TLC show.
Yes. Botched.
Yeah.
Wait, was Botched on TLC? What was Botched on? Was it on Bravo?
No, E? It was definitely on E, but there was another, because I just remember TLC was the show where like I saw a surgeon like doing putting in implants.
Oh yeah. Well, they have My 600-Pound Life, which is very, you see a lot of surgery in that. And then occasionally on 90 Day Fiance, you'll get a med spa visit. And I watched Darcy and Stacy Silva fly to Turkey, which is a plastic surgery destination, and they got veneers. Mm-hmm. And you know what? They're braver women than me to subject themselves to being filmed in the veneer process. It was pretty stunning.
No, as I get older, I'm really, I guess the word is insecure about like my teeth. Like I smile with my lips now instead of showing my whole grill.
Yeah. Well, you have nice teeth, so nothing to worry about over here. I feel the same way though. It's like, I didn't ever feel that insecure about my teeth until like maybe 10 years ago, like I said before, where I was like, well, should I have these big chunky straight teeth?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think this is a great segue for best week ever, because I feel like for my winner, we will be talking about the celebrity's tweet. But let's move on to our best week ever honorable mention. I'll go first. I think my best nomination this week, I have to give it to Lenny Kravitz.
Walking
out in tight leather pants like I knew he would. The fact that he posted this on his Twitter, like, it literally made my day. I think there was a tweet saying like, this is exactly how I pictured him doing sit-ups working out in the gym. There's also been another clip. He's been having a great week, I want to say. There's a clip of him going around, just going to a grocery store, like making a pit stop with the biggest smile, taking pictures with fans. Like, he literally looks like he's enjoying life. But yeah, the multi-talented musician who is 59 years old and still looking fine as hell, tweeted, thank God today, grateful, never been better. There are no shortcuts, so seize your day. It is all possible. Love! Exclamation point. And yeah, he's just, did you see this video? It kind of sort of
I viral. Did. And I was also thinking about Lenny Kravitz today because I was working on part two of our Mariah series, and he's mentioned in a section in her early career. And I was thinking about that video he posted and thinking about how he's 59 years old and he is still so hot. Like this man, this man has been hot his entire career.
Yeah.
And he's never, I feel like he's never had an unhot era.
Never. No. He's always been so good looking. And I love how his daughter Zoe Kravitz always like kind of eggs him on about like how like there's that whole family, like,
yeah,
beautiful.
Look, it's but, a beautiful, it's one of the most beautiful families ever.
But like, seeing him on a mesh tank top, lifting those weights, doing sit-ups with flare leather bottoms.
Yeah, it's iconic. We love him. He's so hot. He looks amazing. He motivated me to get to the gym.
Yeah.
This week. Like, he really did. Because it's like, what's my excuse?
Mm-hmm. Like,
I'm way younger than this guy.
You know, people, and, like, you're going to see a lot more people this week with jeans going to the gym.
Oh, God. I feel like he's the only person I can give a pass on that to.
Yeah.
He's like, you're not Lenny Kravitz. Please don't do that. It makes me uncomfortable because I couldn't do it. It looks uncomfortable.
It looks so uncomfortable.
Yeah. I don't even like when I'm working at my house.
Another worst week ever honorable mention on my list. I have to give it to
Best week.
Oh, best week. I'm sorry. Best week ever honorable mention. On the list, I have to shout out to Ronan Farrow for making a joke about his paternity test. Well, his paternity that is sending the internet again full circle on a rabbit hole, wanting to know if Ronan Farrow, Mia Farrow, and Woody Allen's child is actually Woody Allen's father. But we all know he is, Frank Sinatra is his dad. There's so many side-by-sides. The fact that he jokes about it, I low-key thinks he knows who his dad is, and he's done the paternity test, and he, for the sake of his mom, Mia Farrow, I think he just keeps that silent, or like it's a maybe a little inside secret in their family that they like to keep to themselves. But the fact that he was on the semifinals of RuPaul Drag Race and mentioned that, it's just, I love that guy. And he's so beautiful.
He's so beautiful. It's undeniable that that is Frank Sinatra's child. That did not come from Woody Allen. I'm sorry. It's just like, who are we kidding? Who are we kidding?
Yeah.
And I watched that, obviously, episode because I watched Drag Race, and it was like, he looked great. He looked great.
He was glowing, but I literally was like,
no, it was shocking that he said it because we all say it because we all talk about it. And it's like the big elephant in the room. So it was very funny to see him address it in such a cheeky way.
Yeah. And I doubt Woody Allen is watching RuPaul, but it would be great if this was sent out to him.
Yeah.
Ruin his day. That man's life should be ruined right now. Who do you have for your best week ever honorable mention this week?
Well, speaking of Drag Race, I have Nymphia Wind, who just won the last challenge before the finals. And she's been like one of my favorite queens since episode one. I love her so much. I think she's so talented and so one of like the most stunning queens I've ever seen. She's beautiful. Her aesthetic, I'm obsessed with. She's funny. I think she has a good personality. I wish I could be friends with her. I want to be friends with her. I think she's having a great week because she was really nervous about the challenge going into it. Because she always excels on the, you know, the fashion challenges, but this was like a branding challenge and she nailed it. So she's my honorable mention. I am very, very happy with this top three of Drag Race, because these three queens have been my top queens the entire season. So I'm happy if any of them win.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, no, they're all great.
Yeah.
I also wanted to mention another Best Week Ever honorable mention before we get to Best Week Ever runner up, Rihanna being on the Interview magazine. Have you read that interview? It was very, felt like I was a fly in the room with this whole interview. It was very personable.
She's on my list too, actually. Rihanna was on my list because I read that interview today with Mel Ottenberg in Interview magazine, and she was so just candid.
Well, setting the scene.
Like, she's naturally funny.
Yeah, naturally funny, chill. I love how she brings in pop culture to do digs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, she's a Housewives fan too. She mentioned that. So obviously that adds this layer of relatability.
I loved how she was like, Monica should come back because Tom Sandoval is back. Why not? I thought that was like, it made a lot of people think differently about the whole Monica Garcia being. What do you think about Monica Garcia?
Oh, girl. Oh, okay. I was weirded out by her from the beginning. I got weird vibes from her, and everyone was like really team Monica for a minute. Now, I will say that doesn't mean I'm not thrilled that she was added to the cast. I thought she was an incredible addition. I'm just saying on a personal level, she freaked me out a little bit because she can't regulate her emotions. And I think she needs to be medicated, possibly. No shame in that. Some of us are medicated. I'm medicated. I'm just saying, I think she needs to learn to regulate her emotions. It was like Jen Shaw was back, which I'm fine with because I was concerned, what are we going to do when Jen Shaw's in prison?
Yeah. Well, no, she definitely has like an arrested development because of the trauma with her mom. Like, she is forever going to be like a teenager when it comes to conflict.
And that was also triggering as hell watching that dinner.
I know.
One of the funniest and most horrific scenes of the season is watching Monica Garcia and her mom, Linda, have dinner at that Mexican restaurant. And Monica is having a complete meltdown. And the guacamole comes to the table. And Monica's mom says, oh, what a beautiful dessert. Just chilling. Unbelievably dark. Just
super dark,
but an incredible, maybe the best season of reality TV I've seen in years.
I mean, Monica Garcia, I know we were just talking about Rihanna mentioning her on Interview magazine, but I feel like she's also having a best week ever because she's going to be on Nick Vile's podcast with her burn book. I don't know if there's anything more to say with her burn book, but also I'm not a huge fan of Nick Vile's podcast, but yeah, we'll see.
I haven't listened to it, but I know that he's like the podcast to go to if you're a reality star right now, like maybe a lower tier reality star.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. Maybe he's had some like bigger people on there, but I just feel like it's like his podcast sprang out of nowhere. All of a sudden, it's like ever since 4 months ago, I just keep hearing about his fucking podcast. And I just know him from being like the hot asshole from that one season of The Bachelorette that I was like ashamed that I was attracted to him.
Yeah, no, I was attracted to him when he was in the Summer Paradise one, because everyone loved him. Like, he was a big bro. He was like, you know, the guy to talk to. And I was like, yeah, I definitely want him to be The Bachelor.
No, I was attracted to him on Andy's season of The Bachelorette, and yeah, all the guys hated him for good reason. He was kind of a creep.
Yeah.
That's why I was a little ashamed to be. He's an attractive guy. He's very cute. He just was like kind of a freak.
And I got to give it to him. He's a pretty good interviewee. Like he,
yeah,
not like the girl from Call Her Daddy, where she doesn't follow up with questions. He follows up with questions that like really need to be asked.
Yeah. I need a follow up. I need a follow up.
Yeah. I can't just have an ending. Like, yeah. who do you have this week for best week ever runner up?
Larry David for sticking the landing on the final episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's one of my favorite shows of all time. It's pretty much the only comedy show I watch. It's like I've been watching it since the early seasons, since the early 2000s. And so obviously I'm devastated that it's over, even though the last several seasons have been like, you know, once every few years. So it's not like I've been used to having it like every single year anyway. And I understand why they're ending it, but he's having the best week ever because they nailed the ending. And that, I mean, it's a tall order to come up with like a series finale of any show, especially one that's been going on as long as this has and is so beloved. So they nailed it. He gets to relax now. It's over. Yeah, he's having best week.
Do you think he wants to relax? I feel like he loves comedy, like, and he loves writing, you know?
I mean, would I be happy if they were like, just kidding, we're bringing the show back in a few years? Yes, I would be so happy. I'm not the kind of person who's like, just end it. Like, I'm a greedy little bitch. I want more of my favorite thing all the time.
And he's done this to us before, where he's like, I'm gonna, like, the show's over, and yeah, he comes back, and well, there's been times where I'm like, wait, he's back, and like there's a new season.
No, he said that this is the final season like so many times, but mm-hmm. They really did actually make it the final. Like that was the last episode for sure. No one died, but it was like the perfect button for the end of the show. So unless they do some kind of like movie or special, which I don't know. I don't know if they'll do it.
Yeah. I don't think we need it.
I'm satisfied with the ending. I think most of the fans are satisfied with the ending. I didn't see any complaints about it. But like I said, I'm greedy. So if he was like, just kidding, I'd be like, cool.
Yeah.
Like I got kind of sad when I saw that they're not moving forward with the Jon Snow spinoff of Game of Thrones today. And all these people in the comments were like, good, that was a bad idea. I'm like, no, it's not. I want more Game of Thrones. I could go with a million spinoffs of Game of Thrones.
I mean, they've gotten a lot of sequels, and I didn't know that they actually are not going to go forward with the Jon Snow story.
I hope they do. I hope they find a way. I want it. Do it for me.
Yeah. For best week ever runner up for me, I am not nominating Isla Fisher, who did the most greatest divorce announcement on Instagram. Have you seen this going viral? I actually have to search it up, so give me a second. But yeah, it's a picture of her and Sasha Cohen, and they are basically in tennis outfits. And she says, after a long tennis match lasting over 20 years, we are finally putting our rackets down. In 2023, we jointly filed to end our marriage. We have always prioritized our privacy and have been quietly working through this change. We forever share in our devotion and love for our children. We sincerely appreciate your respecting our family's wish for privacy. I love this. I wish more divorce announcements were like this, especially amicable ones.
I love it too. I love it too because they aren't trying to, they're not trying to make it like so heavy and serious. I mean, it's amicable. So like, it's not, you know, whatever, like any divorce is like serious, but I feel like it just kind of fits with their personalities because both of them are really funny. And like,
I can see them having a divorce party.
Yeah. Like, why not? I love this announcement. I thought it was perfect and it was so on brand for both of them. So I definitely support it.
And I feel like since she's gone in this, like she's been in the scene with Wedding Crashers, she's always been with like Sasha Cohen. We haven't really necessarily seen her with anyone else, right?
Yeah. Like I was kind of like bummed because I have always thought they were a really cute couple. So that's kind of a bummer. But if they're happier, then why not?
Yeah, I always thought they were so compatible for each other, especially in the red carpet.
Totally.
Just like,
they were so cute.
They were so cute, yeah.
I'll miss that for sure.
Who is your best week ever winner this week?
Gypsy Rose Blanchard. Yeah. She's got matching tattoos with her new boyfriend who happens to be her ex-boyfriend. She is separated from her husband. Now she's hanging out with this old flame. They got matching tattoos this week. She's also got a nose job this week and she's recovering from that. So she's like really just feeling her oats and just like living life. And I saw like this one plastic surgeon was kind of being a hater about her getting a nose job. I'm like, well, you're just mad she didn't go to you and you just want publicity in People magazine, like whatever. I think it's fine if she wants to get a nose job. This bitch has been imprisoned for like her entire life.
Yeah.
And let her get a nose job if she wants.
She actually filed for divorce too. It's like already set in stone.
Yeah.
It's in my bingo card. I knew this was going to happen. I wanted this to happen for her.
I wanted this to happen too. And like, I understand how it happened because she's in prison having a very, like a serious, passionate relationship with someone. When you're behind bars, it's like everything is so heightened and you need someone, you need some tether to the outside world. Like I get it. And I'm sure they did love each other, but like, I think we all breathed a sigh of relief that she can like really explore being like a single free woman for the first time in her life.
I was one of those people who actually rooted for her when she deleted all her social media and just like went back to Facebook and became private. Cause I was like, yeah, cause I'm pretty sure. I don't know. The timing of this is just so, cause I feel like it has kind of died down the, you know, the center of attention, the news on her. Cause it's been going on since what, January when she got released.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
the A&E documentary that's coming out, like we said, the press junking, like the whole entire interview tour that they had, like that has all died down. So I think she really like took a step back and is like, oh shit.
No, I'm happy for her because it was only a matter of time before some annoying person on Instagram or TikTok would try and come for her. Mm-hmm. And be like, you shouldn't say that, whatever, for whatever. It's like, just let her be, just let her breathe. I think it's good for, I mean, look, social media is like so crazy. I wish I could quit it. I can't. I wish I could, but I support anyone and I understand anyone, especially someone in her position who needs to heal. She needs time to heal. And it is hard to do that. I would imagine it would be kind of difficult to do that when you have all these eyes on you.
Yeah.
I don't know. At least for me.
I know. It's not like she can go out and get a real job, guys. Like,
yeah. Like, I think she should. I just think at this point, I just want her to. It's like the word self-care gets thrown around a lot. But she's someone who, and I think self-care is important, but she's someone who like really, really needs to practice self-care.
Yeah. And actually
and take
like
care
go to
of herself.
Therapy. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is like what she went through is like so crazy.
It's traumatic.
Right. Like she should find a support group. I hope she has like a support group of like other Munchausen by proxy survivors. And I just hope she also has a lot of fun right now. Cause like, think of how, oh my God, I've been obsessed with her story. Like since this news story about her initially broke like 10 years ago, however long it was. It's just so wild. So I just want her to be happy and get better. Yeah. And if she doesn't want to be in the public eye, good. That's good for her.
I love that. Yeah, we're huge Gypsy advocates over here, hoping that she's on the right path, because it was getting a little bit weird there for a second.
I was just concerned about her, and I didn't want to like feel like, or you know, and it's like it's a fine line between infantilizing her
mm-hmm.
and also having concern that, you know, she's been on the inside for so long. And then before that, she had zero freedom with her living with her mother. So it's like coming into this like brand new world where she has like all this freedom for the first time in her life. I guess I was projecting my own like fears onto her and just worried that she might not be able to handle it. And I feel like she's done a good job, all things considered.
Yeah. Well, for my best week ever winner this week, I have to give it to my favorite celebrity teeth, Kirsten Dunst.
Yay!
She has been in Variety this week. She did a whole like spread cover. She was talking about the Hollywood pay gaps and the media dividing America, where she basically says everything is broken. Honestly, I wish more actors advocated for films the way that she does, where she's very much like, I don't need to work for this film. Like, she wants to work for movies that actually have some substance to it, which I can't blame her for it. I mean, she's done pretty much every movie she's been on, like, I love. Like, yeah. I don't think she's ever been in a bad film, now that I think about it.
No, oh. I've been a fan of her since like day one.
Yeah. Since Jumanji.
Since I was like Interview with the Vampire, like since I was a little kid.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've grown up with her. I am still a huge fan of Kirsten Dunst. I think she's one of our best actors, and mm-hmm. I just adore her, and the projects she chooses are so good, and she can do comedy and drama.
Yeah,
she can do it all.
She can do it all. And yeah, I just remember her, I think it was a Lifetime movie, correct me if I'm wrong, where she played a teenager that was pregnant.
Oh.
It was like an hour. She was like, she had to be like 15. It was like right after Jumanji.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I grew up with her with Virgin Suicides. The whole relationship with her and Sofia Coppola has always been like my favorite. Her husband, who we all know him from Breaking Bad, like the greatest villain. I think he's yes. another great actor too. He played Ugh. Whenever he comes on screen, I'm like, it's good. Like this
he's
is gonna be
so good. I'm a huge Jesse Plemons fan.
Yes,
obviously Breaking Bad, my favorite show, and he plays one of the scariest characters.
Be scared because he's so aloof, like he's so yeah. good at playing, like
so he's such a sociopath.
Yes,
he's so good. I love him, and I love them as a couple. Did you watch season 2 of Fargo?
No, but I did see a lot of clips because everybody, and I love Kirsten Dunst, and yeah, yeah. When we talk about like teeth, her teeth, I love how she's never like gone to veneers. Like
she's got perfect teeth to me. That's yeah. like a perfect smile. I love her smile.
I remember there was like, gosh, probably like some Twitter thread of just like celebrities like weird teeth or something like that. This was like a long time ago, and she was on there, and I was like, but I love her teeth. Like they're yeah. just, they're like a normal human, like
yeah
human
no,
teeth.
She's got great teeth. I love them too. But if you ever want to see just like I think that's where they got together, was Fargo season 2. It's one of, you don't have to watch the other seasons to watch it because each season stand alone, but their chemistry and their acting on it together is just like incredible. It's incredible, and it's such a good season.
And I did have a highly great recommend time it. Seeing her in the red carpet during the award season. There's a cigarette room, I guess. I didn't know that was available at the Oscar parties. and she's there with a joint. I feel like nobody really noticed that. Like, she didn't have a cigarette, guys. She had a joint. That's how fucking cool she is. but yeah, I just love Kirsten Dunst just being outspoken about her work and just like basically saying, like, if I can do this, other actors can do this too. It's really up to them to really change Hollywood when it comes to like film
directors they work with.
Yeah, especially when there's this clip going around where she's like sitting with a bunch of women. I forgot what interview that was, but it's a celebrity women where she's basically telling Julianne Margulies is on that table saying, like, actually, I don't have that problem. I make sure to work with directors that are women. Because there was a bunch of the women in the table were saying, like, you know, it's really hard to find women directors. And Kirsten Dunst was like, actually, no, it's not that hard. I actually seek for it. Like, if you're not
said something that was so important, which was that she takes chances on people that aren't bigger.
Mm-hmm.
She takes chances on directors that aren't huge, have huge amounts of cachet or are multimillionaires that have like huge budgets or whatever. Like, I thought that was cool.
Again, it goes back to like her relationship with Sofia Coppola. I think she genuinely like understands the importance of that relationship and just that growth too.
Yeah, that was cool.
I love Sofia Coppola. I can't believe one of the first films I saw as a kid was Lick the Stars. And I didn't know it was a Sofia Coppola movie until like I went to film school and I was like, oh, I've always had this girl in my head.
Yeah.
But yes, Kirsten Dunst, best week ever for me. Yes. So we're at the end of my show where I ask my guests what their favorite song is from the year 2000 to 2010. I'm super excited because you chose a song. It came out in 2006 by E40. The song is Yay Area. Can you please tell me, where were you when you first heard this song and what makes it your favorite?
Now, I did tell you before that picking a song from this decade is like picking children. It's I could have given you a list of like 100 songs, but I chose this song because it does hold a very special place in my heart. I do remember where I was when I first heard it. I am originally from the Bay Area. I was in a really fucking horrific dark place in my life when I first heard this song, when this album came out. I was in San Pedro, which is like in Los Angeles, like south. It's like south Los in the south. And I was doing some bad stuff. I was up to no good and I was in a really dark place. And I love E40. I've always loved E40. He's from the Bay Area. So when this album came out, my Ghetto Report card, it was like home. It was like home. And I heard the album and I heard Yay Area and it was like this anthem, and it had the Diggable Planet sample, and it just hit every box for me. It was just perfect. And I mean, I still love the song. It still can take me back to like that moment of time. Even though it was so dark, it was kind of like a beacon of light. It was like the one kind of exciting thing happening, is like sad as that sounds at this time in my life, was this E40 record, which also has a lot of other great songs on it. So there was a free concert in May of that year, because the album came out in March. There was a free concert in May in Santa Barbara where E40 performed at like UC Santa Barbara. I didn't go to UC Santa Barbara, but I went to this free concert, and it was like a religious experience. And because it was free, that was the only way I was able to go there. But it was just like incredible getting to see him play songs from this album live. It was even my ringtone. Ringtone at that point. So, I mean, this is back in 2006 when we still would like have ringtones. And so,
ringbacks.
Ringback tones. So, It just like holds us, but I mean, I still love E40. He's like, he's the ambassador of the Bay. He is like at every important sports game in the Bay. Like, I love seeing him behind home plate. I love seeing him courtside at Warriors games, like on the TV. I've never actually been to a Warriors game, but he's just like represents home to me, and I love him, and I think he's amazing.
Is he at the Niner games too? I can see him
all the time. Yes, gold. he loves the Niners. He was very happy before we lost the Super Bowl. But he always has like, he's always dressed to the nines. Like, mm-hmm. He has like custom outfits that are
always frosted too. Like, he has the greatest bling on. Like,
he is sparkly. He is like so blinged out all the time. He's got a great sense of style. He still wears a grill. I just adore him. And his sister, who he used to be in a rap group with back in the day.
I love that. I'm getting like, because I live in Santa Cruz and my husband's from San Jose and him,
oh,
like Bay Area, like, and
so he gets it.
Yeah, he does. I feel like he would appreciate this segment of the show too. But yeah, we got our daughter now cheering like, yeah, 49ers. Like,
it's yay
to listen to.
That's cool.
From Jersey, so like, officially, I am a New York Giants fan, but I support the Bay Area. I've been here
That's
for
like cool.
over 10 years. And yeah, I call it the Yay Area too.
That's good. I mean, I still call it that too. I mean, it's hard being a Giants fan, a San Francisco Giants fan in LA, but you know, I do it.
I know. You gotta like fight the Dodgers. Like,
yeah. Ugh.
I know. I'm sorry. That's rough. It's, especially in their turf.
It's difficult, but you know, gotta rep the Bay. No matter how, I mean, I've lived here longer than I even lived in the Bay at this point. Like, because I moved to LA like right after high school. So it's been so long. It's been that long.
Rachel, I had so much fun talking to you with pop culture and just the nostalgia of it all on the mid-2000s. Can you please let my listeners know where they can find you or if you have anything to plug in?
Sure. You can find Hollywood Crime Scene, my podcast, anywhere you listen to podcasts. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/Hollywood Crime Scene. We recap old reality shows. We're doing Rock of Love right now. It's super fun. And yeah. You can find me on Instagram at Childlike Empress.
And guys, check out their, because it's part one right now. How long is the Mariah Carey? Is it going to be like a three-parter?
It's going to be a three-parter. So I'm working on it. Part two is going to come out on late Friday.
It's a lot. Like, when you think about the people she worked with, like with P. Diddy now in the news, like I think about her and Mace. You know, like, I loved Mace when I was a kid, and I remember just asking, like, why, where'd he go, you know? And now with the Diddy news, I'm like, oh.
That's the bad boy curse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stay tuned for a 10-part Puff Daddy episode.
Thank you, Rachel. I had so much
Thank you
fun.
For having me.
We beat to rap, what key beat to lock, but we beat to rap.